We hear endlessly in commentary and news about the rise of China, the rise of China in economic terms, the rise of China in cultural terms. But as an Australian, for me, one of the happiest things about the rise of China is that Chinese cuisine is no longer synonymous with dodgy lemon chicken and a reheated fried rice, which it was for so many generations there. We're beginning to get an inkling, get a glimpse of the many tastes of China beyond the kind of standard Australianized Cantonese food that we might be used to. But if you want to read or hear from someone who is an expert on Chinese cuisine, whose recipes will make your mouth water at every turn, then you should look no further than our next guest. Fuchsia Dunlop is a leading expert on the cuisine of China. Her latest book is called Land of Fish and Rice. It's out now from Bloomsbury, and she joins us via Skype from the UK. Hi, Fuchsia.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, you were working with the BBC when your fascination with China and Chinese food began. What was it about that country and cuisine that captivated you so much?
Well, I think the country, I went there on holiday in the early 90s for the first time, went backpacking around, and I was just fascinated. It was a place at the time that no one in the West, very few people, were really interested in. People didn't tend to go there on holiday. And it was just this, this ancient culture with a very turbulent modern history, and which felt very undiscovered. So that was the initial thrill. And with the food, it really started from my first trip to Sichuan in, 1993. And I think it was just that the Chinese food that I tasted there, the Sichuanese food, was quite unlike any Chinese food I'd ever tasted in Britain. And it was so fresh and so delicious and so vibrant. And it had this completely different character because, of course, it was a local regional cuisine that at the time we didn't really hear about in the West.
It's that regional thing is such a big part of it, isn't it? I mean, Chinese food in the West, I know certainly here in Australia, tends to have a kind of homogenous nature to it. Do you think it's Chinese food is misunderstood by Western cultures?
I think for a long time it has been, and that's mainly really because of the Cantonese dominance of sort of immigration to Western countries. So it was sort of early Cantonese immigrants who set the tone of Chinese cooking abroad. And they did so at a time when, international palates were less globalized than they are now, I think. So it got sort of set into a rather predictable pattern of the kind of food that you mentioned earlier. But I think what's happened in the last sort of 10, 15 years is that with China's opening up, you've got immigrants, visitors, students from many different regions of China who are now living abroad, and they want to eat the kind of food they're used to eating at home. And so it's sort of produced all these opportunities for restaurateurs to do real regional cooking. So I would say that certainly in big cities, we're beginning to see, like in Melbourne, dainty Sichuan, really authentic Sichuanese restaurant, beginning to see the opening up of regions. So I think although you still only see a fraction of the sort of myriad possibilities of Chinese regional cuisines, it's already very clear to people that it's not just that old Cantonese model, and that China is really a huge country with different regions with different characters and different styles of cooking and eating.
How wildly diverse. I mean, beyond the Cantonese and the Sichuanese, are there regions where the food goes so far beyond what we would commonly think of as Chinese cuisine that it would be unrecognizable as such?
Well, yeah, I would say yes. Classically, traditionally, the Chinese often talk about four great regional cuisines corresponding roughly to north, south, east and west. In the south, the Cantonese, for example, and in the west, the Sichuanese. But actually, if you look at it more close up, every province has its own style of eating, often every city. And then apart from that, you have Buddhist vegetarian cooking, you have Chinese Muslim cooking, and you also have the food of the many ethnic minorities, for example, the Uyghur, who are a Turkic people, living up in Xinjiang on the old Silk Road, whose cooking is a fascinating mix of sort of East and West.
So your latest book, Land of Fish and Rice, is very much concerned with the cuisine of the South. What region are we talking geographically?
Well, it's the region that's been known since ancient times as Jiangnan, south of the river, south of the Yangtze River, that is. And it roughly corresponds to the provinces of Zhejiang and Jiangsu, which is to say the area just inland from Shanghai. So this is the region which traditionally has been seen as the sort of headquarters, as the great sort of eastern, southeastern school of Chinese cooking. But it's been very little known in the West. But it's really, you can see it really as the headquarters of classical Chinese cooking. It's where historically, a lot of the great food writers of China came from. You know, for the last 800 years, people have been sort of writing about the food of this region. And it's known for exceptionally fine ingredients. So Shaoxing wine, that's one thing that you do often see in Chinese supermarkets in the West. But Shaoxing and its rice wines, famous for thousands of years, and that's one ingredient used in cooking, both in small amounts in marinades and things, and also to make the famous drunken dishes when you sort of steep things like cooked chicken and raw prawns in rice wine to make them wonderfully aromatic. And also Jinhua ham, which is a little like the famous Spanish hams, although it's normally used in cooking rather than eaten raw. And you know, apart from these sort of preserved ingredients, the most wonderful fresh produce. You know, this is why the title of the book is Land of Fish and Rice, Yu Mi Zhi Xiang, which in Chinese kind of means land of plenty, land of abundance, because of this plethora of fresh ingredients all year round.
I like the idea of fish and rice as a stand-in for plenty. That makes a lot of sense to me. It's it's a good way in. So you first went to that region about a decade ago. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I went to Shanghai even earlier, but it was 10 years ago that I first visited Yangzhou, the ancient gastronomic capital in Jiangsu province. And that's when I really became fascinated, not just with the food, but the food in its place in the culture of this region.
You're listening to Blueprint for Living here on RN, and I'm speaking with Fuchsia Dunlop about her latest book, which is called Land of Fish and Rice. And she's particularly interested in the Jiangnan cuisine of China. So tell me, what characterizes the food there beyond those ingredients you talked about? What kind of flavors? Because when we think Sichuan, we think that kind of particular kind of Sichuan spice and pepper.
The flavors of Jiangnan are known for being very delicate and balanced. Chefs there, they have all these wonderful ingredients, and they're very concerned with bringing out and framing the bun wei, the root taste of their ingredients. So often you have seasonings used in small amounts to sort of bring out the beauty of the flavor of a lovely fish or seasonal vegetables, things like Shaoxing wine, sugar, soy sauce, salt, ginger, and spring onion, all used in this way to sort of round out the natural flavors of ingredients. And apart from that, also the region excels in what the Chinese call hong shao, red braising. And that's where you cook meat or fish or vegetable ingredients with soy sauce, rice wine, and sugar. And you end up with these gorgeous, rich, sort of glossy sauces, heavenly over sort of plain steamed white rice. Perhaps the best known of these, you know, red braised pork. They do it at beautiful versions in Shanghai. And there's also one of my favorite dishes actually in the whole book is called Dongpo Rou, Dongpo pork. And that's named after a poet of the Song dynasty, some kind of 800 years ago. And it's big chunks of belly pork, which is slow cooked with rice wine, sugar, and soy sauce.
I like a pork dish name for a poet. That's a good thing.
Yeah. And it's very poetic. It'll make you go into raptures of poetry just eating it because it's so delicious. And apart from that, you get these kind of drunken dishes, things like drunken chicken, ice cold cooked chicken steeped in rice wine, that kind of thing.
You mentioned the kind of delicacy of it. There's a term that's mentioned in your cookbook that you say is often translated as kind of bland or insipid, but without the negative connotation. Is that idea of really, of as you say, framing the meal and highlighting it, doing it in a delicate way rather than an overpowering one?
Yeah, the word you're mentioning, qingdan, which is often translated into English as bland or insipid, but in Chinese it's something really beautiful, and it means gentle and delicate and balanced, the kind of food, the kind of flavors that sort of put your heart and body at ease and make you feel very comfortable. So I think, you know, in China people see this cuisine as being particularly healthy and balanced. And it's very sort of, it's all about the seasons, about eating things in seasons. And that's one, I mean, I found a real resonance with the way people traditionally eat in the Jiangnan region and the kind of concerns of people, you know, people interested in food today, you know, provenance, seasons, health and balance.
Future, I love that you're reclaiming the idea of being bland or insipid. There's a whole lot of bland and insipid listeners out there who are now thinking they can paint it as a thing of dignity because you've shown them the way. There's a great story in the introduction to your book talking about an official with a longing for the food of the region who abandons his post. Can you repeat that for our listeners?
In the 4th century, famously, there was an official from this region, Jiang Han, who was posted to the north of China. And he missed the sliced perch and water shield soup. Water shield is a sort of slippery lake vegetable that you find in this region. But he missed these two things so much that he abandoned his post and he went back home. And in China, really, you know, food expresses homesickness more than anything else. And actually in Chinese, if you say that you're thinking of perch and water shield, it means that you're homesick. And it does sort of express the idea that the people of this region feel they eat the best food in China. And, you know, that's where they really want to be.
Now, you mentioned the Dongpo pork, but before I let you go, I'd love you to talk us through the golden scrambled eggs with prawns, because they look amazing, but they look complicated.
Oh, no, not at all complicated, really. I mean, this is just, you know, in China, they would make it with freshwater shrimps, which are smaller and more delicate, but you can also make them with sea prawns and scrambled eggs. So this is a dish from the Dragon Well Manor restaurant in Hangzhou, which has been one of the great inspirations for me for this book. And what you do is you cook the prawns and the eggs separately so that they're both cooked perfectly at the same time, because the prawns take a little longer. So a little bit of stir frying of the prawns, put them into the egg, stir fry it, and then you get this wonderful just tender just cooked egg, and with a bit of spring onion for color
and a hint of the Shaoxing wine just for a good finish.
Yeah, the Shaoxing wine is often used with fish and meat ingredients to just take the rough edges off their flavour and smooth it out and make it taste really savoury and delicious.
Well, Fuchsia, you mentioned eating it the first time and saying it was a meal full of quiet, understated joy and the perfection of the season. I think you've given us a great taste of that today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fuchsia Dunlop is author of The Land of Fish and Rice, Recipes from the Culinary Heartland of China, published by Bloomsbury. That recipe for golden scrambled eggs with prawns is up on the Blueprint for Living, part of the RN website. I'm Michael Williams. Stick around.